everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. We have right in the middle of Health Blast 2015, where we are talking about all kinds of different things about how to change your life, how to change your health, your nutrition, your diet, how to change those things that you think about in your head about where you're going in life. We have everything from cannabis to shamans to talking about soul and heart. We talk about all kinds of different things on here because you know what? Life has changed so drastically in the last 10 years. We really need to start owning up and taking care of ourselves as much as we possibly can. And we can't expect everyone to always know everything that would benefit their health and wellness. So that's why we do the show. Today we are having a great guest with us. We're going to be talking about your heart. You know, just recently, I think this past week, we've talked about so many different things that could affect the heart or help the heart. And today we're going to be talking about your heart from a cardiologist. On Monday, we talked about domestic violence, and we talked about, oh my gosh, you know, that really can take a hit to your being. And when you have those issues in your life, it affects your heart long term. People can then lead into heart disease. On Tuesday, we talked about the PEMF machine, which is all about electromagnetic force, about getting your cells to be able to start working again in your body, going right down to the cellular membrane. And that would be a really interesting anti-aging thing. But it's also about being able to get your body to start working again. And on Wednesday, we talked about Oriental medicine with Dr. Yang. And when we talked about Oriental medicine, we talked about all the blockages in our body, energetically, spiritually, physically, and how Oriental medicine can help that and how it can make things move better. Today, my guest is Dr. Jack Wolfson. He is a top holistic MD in 2012 and top doctor in Phoenix. He's also board certified in cardiology, and he's also liking the natural cardiologist. I think that's a great name. You know, when I was searching out to find out what guests we would have for the show, I thought, cardiology? Yes. And I've worked with many cardiologists in the past and cardiac surgeons, and some of them really kind of would think that their work would be influenced by our nutrition or our diet or exercise and the environment. And some were like, no way, Jose, we just, you know, bring them in, we fix them, we send them back out and see them again in 2 to 3 years. So there really is a really broad spectrum on cardiology these days. So it is really great to have Dr. Wolfson with us. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Jack. It's a great pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me on, Dr. Gallagher. It's fantastic to talk to you, and it's such an amazing thing that you're doing. You're educating people to the whole spectrum of what causes illness and what leads to health. So I applaud you and your efforts for your topics. They are fascinating and interesting, and I'm enjoying going back and looking at listening to some of your replays.
You know, thank you so much for saying that. You know, what I find is that people, they just have been so ingrained in the idea that if something hurts, you go to the doctor, and if you come out with something, you better be coming out with a prescription to either fix you or surgery to be able to take it away, you know. And I think those paradigms used to work in the past, and I think in the past 10 years now, we've really, you know, shake, rattle, and roll, depending on where you lived, as to whether or not that is still your belief.
Well, I think the kind of the great equalizer is the internet, the information age that we live in, where it's no longer the doctor's word is gospel. 30 years ago, you had no choice but to listen to what the doctor said and take the prescriptions, take the procedures, do what was recommended. Now you have the ability to look on the internet, talk to, see what other doctors are saying, what other healers are saying, and really educate yourself. And in so many situations, I find now the patients in so many ways are just as educated or more so than some of these doctors, certainly when it comes to natural health and true health maintenance.
You know, and I really think that that's of vital importance because it really puts an emphasis on the patient to say, that doesn't resonate with me. I'm feeling that it's something else. You know, so many times, I've been in healthcare, you know, since the early 70s. That's over 40 years now. And all of the different areas in which I was in, people would come in and they would state their facts, you know, state their symptoms. And they would expect to get whatever, and then they would walk out. But I've always had the comment, and it's always been in my head, and I've always said it to every person I ever worked with, is that which is keeping that person sick is exactly what they're not telling you. It's what they're keeping at home. You know, mm-hmm. And that is really a true paradigm, and I think the internet has really opened that up to say those things you aren't saying or you're not, you know, owning up to. You really need to start sharing, or you're not going to get well. So that's another whole other population of people that are kind of like awakening up.
Well, I think also when you go to see a natural doctor, myself in my office, I do 75-minute new patient consultations. Other people we know in the natural industry, they take a long time with their patients because that's what the amount of time you need to extract all the information from that person about their health. And even 75 minutes sometimes is not enough. Some people have been alive on this planet 60, 70, 80, 90 years.
Right.
You can't determine their health issues in a 10-minute office visit. It takes time to really kind of unpeel all those different layers that are important to people. One thing I do like to tell everyone is that whenever it comes to a recommendation that a doctor is giving, we want to know really the evidence of how something works. So if someone is going to say, go on a statin drug, go on a drug for blood pressure, we want to know really is what is the benefit of that? We have to ask the doctors, tell me the percentages, tell me what the studies show, because it's not just as simple as here, take this pharmaceutical and you're going to live forever, and if you take it, you're going to die. There are percentages, and when we look at those percentages, the benefits and oftentimes are very small, and if the patient can ask the doctor those questions, I think they're going to get much better outcomes.
And I think so, too. Let's take a look at cholesterol. I mean, my cholesterol has been 210 since I've been 16 years old, you know, and I'm almost 60. And it hasn't moved. And quite frankly, when you sometimes visit a different practitioner or whatever, I'm a naturopathic physician, but when I turn around and I have to go to a regular MD for something, they're like, you have to take this. It's over 200. And it's for 10 points and, you know, four decades, I don't think so, you know. And we really need to also be able to be powerful in ourselves to say, is that extra little points, you know, the risk of taking a drug with all of its other side effects, when really it's been like that forever and it hasn't changed, you know? So
right.
We really need to know that as patients when we go to other doctors, say, no, it didn't just jump up there. It's been like that forever. And, you know, be firm and stand in that. A lot of people get very intimidated in that and they don't pay attention, you know, to what their past health conditions were. So they really don't even know those answers to use as comparison.
Well, you know, when in doubt, I would say seek a second opinion. If you don't like what one doctor is telling you or you're uncertain, go ask a second physician. Go seek consultation with someone who is a naturopath, a chiropractor, a homeopath, a natural MD or DO, and see what they have to say. Because, obviously I see a lot of people that have been told they need certain pharmaceuticals and they come see me.
Right.
I show them the information. I tell them that they're unlikely to get any benefit, and I talk about alternatives. When it comes to cholesterol, everybody has their perfect, what I call caveman cholesterol. They're perfect numbers that are perfect for them. If they had been walking around 25,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, what would their numbers be? And for someone like Dr. Jeanette, you know, Gallagher, her perfect number may be 210. And we shouldn't try and change that. We shouldn't try and lower the number down because drugs will lower the number down, that's for sure. But will it decrease your risk? And the answer is usually no.
And it also will increase the side effects because we all know there are so many side effects. And, the little paradigm that, you know, first you get a blood pressure medication, then you get a cholesterol medication, then you get a libido medication, you know, because all of these are connected in their same realms of their side effects and one's causing the next.
I totally agree. One of my best friends is a naturopathic cardiologist by the name of Decker Weiss, absolutely brilliant, brilliant doctor and a good friend of mine. And we did a conference last year called the Natural Heart Expo. We had over 300 people in paid attendance out here in Phoenix. It was spectacular. And my last speaker that I had up there was Dr. Decker Weiss, and Decker got up there and did something that you just said, where you, the doctor sees you for one complaint, gives you a drug, which leads to another complaint, and therefore another drug. And he took this out to seven drugs, and he had seven people up there, and
right.
It was such a riot how he did this, but it really hammered home that point of how drugs are, you know, are recommended, and then the side effects necessitate more drugs. The average person who takes drugs for blood pressure, they're on three drugs for blood pressure,
right.
And then all the drugs associated with those side effects.
Absolutely, and three turns into nine very quickly. You know, I worked with a few end-of-life clients, and when I asked her to bring out her medications, she had them in every room in her house. And she said that, "I always have a pain in my heart, so the doctor gives me pain medication." And she had a bottle of pain medication that was a stock bottle from the pharmacy.
Hmm.
And it was like, "Really? Are you kidding?" She says, "Yeah, whenever I get a pain, I just take it, you know, or whenever it hurts, I just take it." And it was, you know, we're so over-medicating ourselves, too, because the what we're telling the doctors and what the doctors are hearing is not actually a coordinated benefit of being able to get you healthier. It's just a coordinated benefit to get you to the next day.
Right, right. It's all about survival and not thriving, which is the most important thing. Listen, people, you know, we both have patients that take Advil like it's candy. I mean, and unfortunately, so many people just do not know the risks associated with those drugs, whether it's kidneys and blood pressure and heart and internal bleeding. There's, you know, and once again, none of it is addressing the cause. And my wife is a chiropractor, and one of her favorite things is saying that DC, her initials at the end of her name are
yes.
does not stand for Doctor of Chiropractic. It should stand for Doctor of Cause. And we have to find the cause. And the cause is not lack of Advil, and the cause of heart attacks is not a lack of Lipitor. We have to find the cause, and that's what's exciting about being a natural doctor, is really getting to the bottom of these issues.
And also DC, discontinue, you know. Let's discontinue some of these things
too,
that we don't want to carry around, right? Or discontinue that mantra that we believe about ourselves. Or how about those little tags we put on us that say, "I'm the diabetes patient in one," you know, I'm the person who doesn't take their medication in three, or whatever it is, you know. And just discontinue all that stuff. Just stop, you know, and put a little more value in the body that's actually holding your spirit on this earth. I mean, without the body, I mean, there isn't anything. So people just think about it. I was speaking this week to another practitioner, and we were saying, you know, if you get a car and you buy car insurance and you run that car into the ground and everything, you don't go to the car insurance people and say, "I ran my car into the ground. I need you to fix it or give me another one," you know? But yet when we have medical insurance, we do the same. We do that. You know, we say, "It isn't working right. It's got a bumpy tire," or, "My legs are hurting. My joints are hurting." Or we say, "I feel like I must have sprung a leak in my car. You know, my radiator's leaking." Well, you know, maybe that's your kidneys that aren't working right or something, or, you know, all these different things. And yet we do it in medical, but we wouldn't do it in any other part of our life.
Right. Now, that's a fantastic analogy. I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, you know, we have to, you know, obviously empower patients, you know, to really take care of themselves. It takes it's an effort to stay healthy on this planet. The pollution, the environmental toxins, in so many ways, unfortunately, not to sound really pessimistic, but the planet is destroyed. It's totally polluted. We have to make a major effort to eat the right foods, to get our exercise, to schedule these things in the day. We got to make an effort to de-stress. We got to make an effort to sleep, because the world is against us. And if we're not going to do it, the doctors aren't going to do it for you. You have to take it amongst yourself as a person, to really, really pay attention to your health and really make the effort.
You know, let's go back in history a little bit. I grew up in the 50s and 60s in northern Pennsylvania by the Amish people. And everything was farms, you know. That was just the way we ate. And I could smell a tomato. If I walked in the room, I would know somebody cut one open, you know. And I had a show the other day with a cook, and I said, you know, I can just tell when that cucumber is good or it's ripe. She says, oh, but there's all different kinds of cucumbers. I says, no, I know when a cucumber is ripe. And, you know, we get into this thought that we really know what is good and what isn't, but there's a lot of people that don't. You know, I live in the Deep South. If it isn't, I call it the land of brown and white. If it isn't deep fried, if it isn't brown, if it isn't white rice or white flour, they don't eat it. They will go to even a fast food place like some of these drive-thrus and say, I want a hamburger and fries and no salad. And you're going, what do you mean no salad? They're like, you know, the stuff they put on top of the hamburger, the lettuce, the tomato, the onions and pickles and ketchup. I don't want that. I only want meat and cheese. And it's like, whoa, you know. So there's a huge paradigm of patience. But we really all need to say, where are we and how can we do better for ourselves?
Well, you know, obviously, every journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Right.
You know, that is a famous, ancient Japanese quote. And, you know, we just try and make, baby steps. We don't have to change everything at once. But we do need to educate ourselves about all the different healthy options. It tells us what the cause of disease is. We learn the truth. And then what we do with the truth is up to each individual person. Us as physicians, you know, we can lead the horse to water, but we can't make him drink. But I try and, you know, some people, you do have to hit them with the kid gloves. You do have to tell them, you know, one step at a time. And maybe, you know, with that person who goes for fast food, is to say, well, you know what? Maybe this time, skip the fries, go with the salad. The salad and the burger would be a healthier option for you, or splitting fries with somebody else. But, you know, we certainly won't give up the fight trying to get people to do the right thing.
You know, I'll never give up the fight. It took me exactly 8 years to get one client off of diet soda onto regular soda, because we waited. Was the sugar worse than the chemicals? They were not going to give up soda, no way, no how. But we got them off of the formaldehyde and onto regular sugar. Now we're into taking out the sugar and going to water. And we're up to 12 years now. And that is the only change they were willing to make. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. So let's talk about cardiology. You call yourself it's down as a natural cardiologist. How many times do people come to you and say, you know, my heart just is broken and I need you to fix it like yesterday? We all hear that.
Right.
I hear that all the time, too.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. Well, you know, as you said, I'm a board-certified cardiologist. I was with a very large practice for 10 years out here in Arizona. I was doing angiograms and pacemakers and working weekends and taking night call and sending the people to surgery and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And a couple years ago, I started my own practice, and the focus of the practice is to use nutrition, supplements, lifestyle changes to prevent disease, in some cases treat disease. But you're right. I mean, some people come in and they want the immediate fix, sometimes you can obtain that. Sometimes people with horrible chest pain that is called angina, and they have chest discomfort with exertion, sometimes just by changing their diet, even making it 50% better, they can get rid of a lot of their symptoms. As you know, getting rid of dairy cures a lot of people's symptoms. Getting rid of sugar certainly has a major impact. Getting rid of gluten and soy, just some of these little changes can make an overnight improvement in their health. And I find that very exciting. I was very frustrated in my old role as a typical cardiologist, where you would have someone on 5 pharmaceuticals for blood pressure, yet their blood pressure is still sky high. And you just throw your hands up in the air, and you're like, why is this a problem? And you realize, because you never, as a physician, addressed the cause of it. And the cause is not lack of the pharmaceuticals. The cause was nutrition. The cause was maybe too much salt in their diet. or the foods we mentioned before. The cause was stress. The cause was lack of sleep. The cause was where they worked. They were exposed to a lot of environmental chemicals. And you start to, you know, peel away once again these layers, and the patient's health improves, and you start decreasing the amount of those drugs. And I've been very successful with that in just about every case where if a person commits to these changes, they get the results every single time. Every time.
You know, and we always say that your body does have an innate ability to be able to heal itself, but you can't keep be putting stuff in that you think, let's say people take a lot of vitamins and they say that that's going to work, but then they still haven't made changes otherwise. You really need to be able to make changes all the way around the circle. In other words, you can't say, I'm going to go running every single day, but the only place I'm going to go is I'm still going to eat all my fast food and it doesn't matter and I'll still take my drugs. And while that might be a slight change, it's still going to put you at that same end result. So you really want to be able to see what you, in other words, get yourself out of the weeds a little bit more so you can see where you land and then start taking care of those particular items that are just right in your face.
No, for sure. You know, I totally agree with that. You know, one of the things, if we go back to maybe, you know, cholesterol drugs, is that the studies, you know, for example, will show that if you don't take a cholesterol drug, well, your chances of having a heart attack are 18%. And if you take the cholesterol drug, well, now your chances are 16%. So, yes, there is a 2% benefit. And doctors and pharmaceutical companies and the government, they'll say, wow, look at all the lives we're going to save with that 2%. But us as people and as patients, we do not want to be in either group. We don't want to be 18% chance of a heart attack or 16% chance of a heart attack. We want to work towards 0%. And the drugs, as we said, aren't going to get you to 0%. It is only through proper nutrition, avoidance of chemicals, that's going to get us down to the 0%. So that's what we try and do, you know, with our patients, is to get them, you know, to understand that. And it works. It definitely works. It's going after the cause. Always go after the cause.
You know, I've noticed a lot doing a lot of end-of-life work with hospice and palliative care is that when you get to that point, and you're in hospice, but you've also brought on palliative care people, they still are giving you tons of drugs. I mean, like, tell me why you still need to keep giving the statin to someone who might only have 2 or 3 months left, right? Because you want them to feel better, but yet they still keep pounding down all these medications that really is not going to extend their life. But if you have someone who is very aggressive in reducing a lot of these medications, they're finding that in hospice care, a lot of people are having these, quote, miracles. And those miracles are is that all of this stuff, all of a sudden, hey, their legs aren't hurting like anything. They can stand up and move around on their own. They don't feel like they're going to walk into the walls all the time. Or, you know, that lady down the corner that was just, you know, falling every single time, she doesn't fall anymore. Can't imagine, can you?
Yeah, that's definitely fascinating. It's definitely frustrating, yeah, to think about some of the pharmaceuticals that are continued in that situation for end-of-life care. I can only speak to my father, for example, and before I became a natural cardiologist, and I was, you know, practicing typical, you know, medicine. My father came down with a very strange diagnosis called progressive supranuclear palsy, PSP. It's what the famous actor Dudley Moore, the British actor Dudley Moore, died from. And my father, even up to the very end, you know, we reviewed his pharmaceuticals, and he was on Lipitor. And it was like, eventually, it was like, why is he taking this drug? This is doing nothing for him. And exactly like you said, we stopped the drug, and within 3 days, we found that his balance was improved. We found that his mind had improved a little bit. It didn't save his life, but nonetheless, you know, I think that, you know, we made him more comfortable in the end by you know, removing some of those drugs. You know, I mean, would an aspirin a day be of any benefit to my father preventing a heart attack or stroke? It doesn't has any role in prevention whatsoever, let alone in the last, you know, couple months of someone's life.
You know, it's so incredible when they turn around and I do a women's program over the age of 50, and we talk about this, and we say, what is really the point of all these medications going forward, you know? I think we start our, most people, they start their pharmaceutical collection around the ages of 40, 45. And by the time they're 50, 55, they've got two or three in their medicine cabinet, and definitely by the age of 65, when they change their jobs, they start to retire, their kids are now having kids, they're worried about their financial situation, and they don't even know who's going to take care of them if they get sick. Now, all of that emotional bucket, you know, and mental stress on them, and you're looking at taxing on some more pharmaceuticals at that age, that's really a setup for, don't you wonder why people then just say, you know, hey, I'm done with this life, check me out within 5 to 10 years.
Right. Right. No, and certainly, I mean, the side effects of all those drugs, they've never been studied. No one's ever looked at, you know, how five pharmaceuticals mix with each other. We know, you know, some data, typically in short term, on what one pharmaceutical will do and the side effects and the symptoms of that pharmaceutical. But mixing that whole batch together in you, the individual person, that's never been looked at. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously in my experience, I've seen plenty of people that are on just a whole pharmacy full and feel terrible. And never does anyone ever come back to me and say, wow, Doc, I felt much better on five drugs than I do now on zero. You know, they're not going to say that to us. They're thrilled to get rid of the pharmaceuticals. And, you know, what you mentioned before, too, is that, you know, supplements and vitamins, they're not a panacea. They are not the total
right.
cure-all. They are there to supplement a good lifestyle. They're there for the extra. Unfortunately, even those of us that try to eat a perfect diet and live a chemical-free lifestyle, we have years of not doing those things. Unfortunately, there is a pollution problem. We're all under constant stress. We do need supplements to help us really get to our optimal potential. But once again, it's still just a small part of the overall health equation.
You know, sometimes a lot of these alternative physicians, you will see when the patients come to you then, and I'm sure you've seen it, and I've seen it, they'll come in with this huge bag of supplements, and they're like, well, I take 20 or 30 of these things a day, and I'm going, really? You know? And you just want to wonder, it really is totally, as you said, it's most of the time unnecessary. But I'm a pretty much purist. I only like to do, like, if I'm going to do magnesium, it's going to be only magnesium, only in drops, only by itself, you know. I'm not giving
right.
you something that's got 20 or 30 other things in it, because then my normal thing is, I always say, you're just peeing in the ocean and we're going nowhere, you know. So it's really, you know, what is your effect there? You're really looking at getting a therapeutic effect, not just giving something because it's a tagline for today or tomorrow or next week.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think obviously each person is different. Each situation we look at differently. Some people, you know, may require 10, 15 supplements as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, you know, they just, you know, they can't tolerate that. And frankly, some people can't afford to take that many supplements either. But,
right.
you know, and I think I fall under that habit sometimes also, is that, you know, you as the physician know so much information. You know that
right.
supplements work. You've got the evidence they work. And now you get back this battery of blood tests that you ran, and that leads you to start doing, okay, well, I'm going to put you on CoQ10 for this, and L-carnitine
right.
for this, and fish oil for this, and magnesium, and on and on and on. And, yeah, for some people, that's a little bit too much. For some people, they don't mind. They'll take 30 supplements, and, hey, if you find the 31st that works for me, I'll take the 31st. But, and I think like anything, on every doctor's visit, whether it's pharmaceuticals or it's nutritional supplements, the whole list has to be reviewed for things that are no longer necessary, for things that may be causing a problem. You know, what I would call, you know, pharmacological rounds, to once again look at everything the person's taking and always be reassessing, because nobody should be on some of these things for, you know, for years and years at end.
Yeah, I think you just, I cap mine. It's usually five. and that's tops, because then I'll go for the therapeutic effect. You get 6 months at that. We'll see where you're at, and then we'll go to the next if we have to go to the next. But I just found that, you know, getting into that 10 and over range, it just seemed to be, you know, a little bit out there. So let's talk about diet. You know, everybody saw, of course, on the internet and on the television and on the news, what is the number one diet? The DASH diet. And they've said the DASH diet now for 2 or 3 years, I think it was. It's top number one. And what are your thoughts on diet?
Well, my thought on diet is actually pretty simple. Follow the diet that has worked for millions of years, and that is paleo nutrition. Paleo, our ancestral diet, caveman diet, hunter-gatherer diet, whatever you want to say, I think that that is the most beneficial for everyone. Some people it may not work perfectly for, but obviously it's sustained us for millions of years. I do have a lot of patients that come to see me. They're vegan, meaning they do not eat any animal products, right, or they're vegetarian, so they do eat eggs, or maybe they eat some dairy products. Those diets are experiments, and the doctors and people that recommend them are experimenting on their patients. In no society in the history of the world were people, vegetarians or vegans. Every society, every peoples have eaten meat and or seafood. Every animal eats either other animals or they eat insects. There are even plants that eat insects. And those people that talk about some of these diets, once again, whether it's low fat, you know, I mean, our brain is made up of fat. Our body is made up of fat. Nutrients need fat to be absorbed. So there's people that write books on veganism. There's people that write books about extreme low fat. And I think they're doing their patients a tremendous, tremendous disservice. Paleo has good data on it. Everyone talks about the Mediterranean diet as being one of the better diets. Well, when paleo is studied versus Mediterranean, paleo does even better than Mediterranean. So let's follow what makes sense. Let's follow what our ancestors have done for millions of years and follow paleo. When I say paleo, just so I can explain to your listeners, paleo is about, number one, eating tons of vegetables. The foundation of my paleo pyramid is vegetables. It is not about eating meat 3 times a day, although Eskimos do it and they live a long life. Tribes in Africa do it and live a long life. But it's about the foundation is vegetables, and you have to eat some meat and or seafood in your diet. In addition, you're going to have nuts and seeds. You're going to have eggs and avocados and coconuts and olives and different healthy oils. You can also eat fruit, but fruit, unfortunately, is very high in sugar. So if those of us that are trying to keep our weight down, that are watching our blood sugar, that may have elevated blood sugar, risk for diabetes, etc., we need to keep fruit to a minimum very often. The foods that are non-paleo are going to be your breads, your cereals, your rice, your pastas, your dairy products, and of course, sugar was not available to our paleo ancestors. And sugar, I assume you'll agree, is outside of things that are artificial, is the most damaging food possible for us to eat.
Well, I'm really sorry to say, Dr. Jack, but, you know, I go to the farmer's market downtown, and guess what they have? Sugar cane all over the place. You just buy a great big stick of it, sugar cane, and kids are walking around with it and chewing on it and everything. So, but also, then they turn around and they will eat a lot of seafood. Granted, you know, it might not be the best sometimes with their toxins in it, but they do eat a lot of seafood. So I think you pretty much have to eat to your area also. You know, when I was in California, I mean, I just absolutely loved a lot of the things that were grown out there. When it was in Pennsylvania, I liked certain things there that I didn't, you know, have before. I can remember in the 50s and 60s, it was a great thing to get an orange in your stocking at Christmas time because, goodness gracious, that was when the trucks were just starting to deliver produce, you know, from Florida. And sure, it was a great thing. So, you know, you really need to eat for where your area is, too. You know, that does make a huge difference.
And nowadays, if you put an orange in a kid's stocking, they would probably like pull it out and throw it at you and say, "What are you giving me this for?" This isn't some chocolate wrapped wrapped in in something or some other kind of poison. So. I think obviously, if you can do local and the things that are local to you, I think it's very important. Certainly I find from when I test people's blood work, when we start moving people towards paleo, they get fantastic results. Blood sugar comes down, their lipid panel, their cholesterol levels and LDLs and HDLs starts to normalize. It becomes that perfect paleo cave person cholesterol. People feel better. They lose weight. They're not bloated. Initially it's kind of tough because we all have these, sugar cravings, and sugar is the most addicting food in the entire planet. It's probably the most addictive thing in the entire planet. So it's a hard habit to kick. But, if we can, once again, a lot of times we don't have to get rid of these foods totally, but we have to understand they're harmful to us, and we got to really try and minimize them.
Right, because I can remember living in Pennsylvania, we never had seafood, ever, because it just, we were on that part of the state in the mountains, and it just wasn't there. But we did eat, meat all the time, but it was mostly from the butcher and from the farms. So we think about that, and, because now, and the reason I emphasize that quite a bit is because right now I'm almost 60, so this is our best population is those over 50, 55, which we are addressing. So what really do they eat when they were younger does have a bearing on where their health is and where it's going. So if you ate really crappy in, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, don't think that, the year 2000, Y2K, you're going to be hunky-dory. You've got a lot of work to do.
We know that all these things, they start in the womb. They start, while you're in your mother's uterus and your mom is pregnant. The foods that she eats affects your health. The chemicals that she's exposed to affects your health, when you're older. We know that even from a cardiovascular standpoint, not only is there tremendous health benefits to the woman who breastfeeds, but there's cardiovascular benefits to the child who is breastfed. And we were talking about, we know that now benefits, 60, 70 years down the road, it's going to also turn out to be important what your grandmother ate, what your grandmother gave your mother, and what your mother gave you. All those things will impact your health in the future. So if we can reach out to these young moms and these pregnant women that unfortunately they have the cravings and they're running for their ice cream and their cookies, I tell all the pregnant women I know and any that I see as patients, every single thing you put in your mouth will affect your child. And think about it. Every time you reach for something that is non-paleo and not healthy, what you are doing to yourself and to your child. And I think that scares, people enough to really make a difference.
So let's talk about your testing. Is your testing different than most cardiologists and your therapies? What type therapies do you sometimes like? What is on your key top 10?
Right. Well, the testing I do is certainly different than other cardiologists, and there are not many natural cardiologists in the United States, I assure you. I know who they are. There's not many that are out there, unfortunately. But I think times are changing. I think a lot of people are getting on board, with the things that we're talking about. But the typical, the total cholesterol, the total LDL, the total HDL, the triglycerides, those are tests from the 1970s. When my father was a practicing cardiologist, those are the tests they use. We can get a lot more in depth these days looking at what's called LDL particles. LDL has been told by to us that LDL is the bad cholesterol, the boogeyman cholesterol. Well, why would our bodies make it? Why do other animal species make LDL? Why do monkeys and gorillas and giraffes and hippopotamus, why do they have LDL? It serves for a reason. It delivers cholesterol and other nutrients around the body. That's why the body makes it. It has a reason. Now, when we look at LDL, we can find large LDLs and small LDLs. We want a lot of large ones and not a lot of small ones. And that's what we need to be tested for. Because if you have that, if you have a lot of large and not a lot of small, your risk is going to be lower. And another thing that we look at is inflammation. Is your body on fire? Is your body being irritated? The more on fire, the more risk you have of all diseases. And then, of course, we want to look at, you know, people's blood sugar, and we look at the thyroid, and we look at heavy metals, and we look at food allergies, and we look at hormones such as adrenal cortisol levels. We look at to make sure that a lot of people are taking vitamins. Hey, are the vitamins getting where they need to go? So you check intracellular levels of those vitamins and other nutrients. People are spending hundreds or thousands of dollars on their supplements. Hey, do some testing to make sure that they're working. Are there things you can pull away? Are there things you may need to increase? And that's what I, you know, spend a lot of time on in my office. And I know that the 10-minute cardiologist doesn't have time to go through those results. They don't have the time to order those results, and they don't have the time to understand those results. So they don't do it, and they shoot it down as being not important. And frankly, the average cardiologist, the only bullet in their gun, the only thing they can do is statin drugs. So why even bother testing? Give everybody a statin and go about your way. But we deserve so much more, so much better than that. You know, when it comes to supplements, I and I'm sure you're in agreement with this, whenever we can do food-based quote-unquote supplements, I think that's the best way. I put all my patients on a greens powder, which is just dehydrated organic greens, such as different types of grasses, such as dehydrated broccoli and kale and spinach, all those different things that are very, very high in antioxidants and in nutrients. And it's part of the food budget. We shouldn't think about that as a vitamin. Mm-hmm. We, you know, put the powder in a glass of water, and that's what we do there. I love the small algae that grow in water, spirulina and chlorella. Tremendous cardiovascular and other benefits. Beetroot powder is another one of my favorites, organic beetroot powder. And you can take those three things I mentioned, the greens powder, the chlorella spirulina, the beetroot powder, you put that into water, and that's a meal or at least a good snack. It's a good energy boost. We don't need the afternoon Starbucks or some kind of pick-me-up. We can use one of these nutrient drinks and gain tremendous benefits, tremendous energy, tremendous cardiovascular health effects from it. So whenever we can do things, you know, based with food, I like to do that. I do think everybody should be on a quality multivitamin, even the best diets. You know, once again, we did not eat healthy for so many years. We are still exposed to so many pollutants. And even, you know, the best diets with the best food from grown around the world, the soil is typically depleted of some of these nutrients. And I think a quality multivitamin is very, very beneficial. So, I don't know, and would you agree with that sentiment? Because obviously, if you're going to do five or six, you know, supplements, you know, I think those are the basic things that really have the most amount of impact.
Absolutely, because you really have to make sure they have an intact GI system, too. So many people, you know, over the age of 60, if you look at all of their GI studies, you see cotton bowel. You know, your barrier, your membranes, you mean, are just so porous that everything has just been going through there for so long that you just don't even have an intact bowel anymore to be able to absorb some of these vitamins and nutrients. So you really have to make sure what you're giving someone, and as you said, that it is actually in effect, having a cause and effect in your body. Otherwise, you may just as well discontinue it, you know?
Oh, sure, but sure. And I think you I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, you bring up the point of bowel health and GI health, and you know, I learned this from you guys. I learned this from my wife, and I say you guys, I mean the people that were born naturally, because I wasn't born natural. I was born into a medical family, medical world, you know, fully trained in the medical system. But understanding about gastrointestinal health, the importance of probiotics, how our ancestors were covered in dirt, and so was their food. They lived their lives in dirt and the healthy bacteria that are in dirt, what we call probiotics. And probiotics are the rage, you know, right now. And the science is there and the proof is there of the cardiovascular benefits of probiotics, of digestive enzymes, of taking extra acid, make sure you break down your food to make it absorbed and digested. These things are such basic elements. And I assure you, as you know, and I assure the listeners, the medical doctors just, this does not register one iota about the importance of gastrointestinal and bowel health to our overall health. It's really amazing.
You know, let's also talk about a little bit about emotional health, too, because that is a great, great symptom that most people come in with. You know, they'll put their hands to their chest and say, my heart hurts, and you're going, okay. And then here's my thought is it the organ or is it their energy of their heart or what is that their thought and really where are they coming from or what's going on? That's where I go within 5 seconds, you know, versus all of that other stuff. Well, maybe they have a blocked vein and, hey, a vessel, hey, let's go do this, that, and the other. I don't even go there, you know. I'm going,
right.
Okay, so what is really broken? Tell me what's broken. You know, and usually if you just ask that question, what's broken, you'll get an answer. And that's the train you want to be on.
Right. Well, I think obviously any doctor, of course, you know, needs to be very skilled at determining, you know, is someone having a major, you know, cardiovascular health problem at that moment? And obviously 99 times out of 100, they're not. And then you're right. You need to get down to, you know, to the, you know, to the brass tacks of it and really see kind of what, you know, what are the issues? And would it surprise you if I told you that the amount of training I had when I went through 3 years of cardiology, 3 years of internal medicine, 4 years of medical school, 10 years after college, the amount of training I had in nutrition, in vitamins, in stress, in exercise, the amount of training was zero. We never, ever talked about these things. I have a book coming out hopefully in April, May, and my book has a chapter called One Nation Under Prozac. And in that chapter, I talk about the studies that prove that stress is bad for your heart, anger is bad for your heart, depression is bad, anxiety, social isolation, people that just really don't have much of an outlet on what that does to your health. For even the concept of daylight savings time, which we don't do here in Arizona, daylight savings time in the spring when people lose an hour of sleep is associated with a 20% increased risk of heart attack on the day following daylight savings. Stress is a major factor. I'll tell you one more thing that I wrote into my book, which is an amazing fact. It's a strange diagnosis called Takotsubo's syndrome. And this is a stress-induced heart attack, occurs in middle-aged women 80% of the time, where a stressful event causes a heart spasm, an artery spasm, leading to a heart attack. The doctor, the cardiologist goes in there, takes pictures, you know, through an angiogram, and they don't find any blood.
Right. Uh-oh, I think we lost him. Dr. Jack, you still there?
I'm here.
Go ahead. We lost a little bit of what you just said. Can you repeat it?
Yes, I was talking about Takotsubo syndrome.
Correct.
Okay, so Takotsubo syndrome, once again, the artery spasms because of a stressful situation, 80% out of the time it's in women, and it causes cardiovascular damage, but there's no disease there. It's strictly from a stressful situation. And frankly, this was not even a diagnosis I was familiar with in my training, you know, in the late 1990s and early 2000s. It didn't happen. It's much, much more common now, and we have to get a handle on stress. We do.
Well, you know, and we've always told the story on the radio before, I've said it, is that we had a report from a woman. She went to the ER. She was having chest pain, and she was in her mid-50s, And within, you know, when you go into the ER, 5 seconds, you're on a table getting an EKG that lasts for exactly 5 seconds. So you get your strip, you know. And they say, okay, it's not crash and burn, so go out and sit in the waiting room. So she goes out and sits in the waiting room. She's sitting there about a half hour or so. Finally, they take her in the back. They put her in on a stretcher in a closet that is a storage room. And leaves her in there with the electrodes on that are all falling off and everything, and there's no consistent strip. Comes back in and sees her at 4 hours and 15 minutes and says, okay, we didn't see anything. You can go home. And that's the event. And you have to look at that. And I think we as practitioners must look at that, because a lot of times our clients have been through that. And we have to understand how absolutely outrageous that is. And we need to share it with our colleagues and say, we need you to keep aware of this so that we don't repeat those same practices, and that we don't, when we hear them, we acknowledge them and we understand them. And then it's a stepping stone exactly for what you just got done saying about that syndrome. Because what that woman, I mean, we remember the 4 hours and the 15 minutes is all because they have to have you in there for 4 hours and 15 minutes to be able to charge the insurance. Can't let you out before 4 hours. Has to be 4 hours and 15 minutes. Can't be 4 hours and a half, because then you're into the next hour. It's a crazy thing, you know, and no one ever comes to see them. They're just sitting there, and they send them home. So that's really, you know, when we talk about the issues with healthcare these days, oh, well, why do people not have insurance? Why are people not taking care of themselves? And, oh, we need to do this new healthcare law where patients' feedback is going to decide whether or not the physician gets paid or not. I think we are on such a carousel that it's like almost it's got all these mocking people on it. It's like, are you simply crazy? This is not the way the world is supposed to be. You know, no one is listening to anyone, and no one is actually caretaking for anyone. And what is the biggest caretaking organ in the whole body is the heart. So if you don't pay attention, if you don't start to listen, and if you don't start caring for people, we're going to have more and more heart disease than there's ever been.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've often said, and about my book, something that I have in there is a chapter on chiropractic care, and that out of 10 patients that I see with chest pain, 9 of the times it's musculoskeletal. And if you had a chiropractor, an osteopath, a naturopath that's doing physical, medicine, physical, manipulation, if you had that person in the emergency room, you would save so much money and so much time and so much effort, as opposed to the typical chest pain. You get admitted, you check all the enzymes and EKGs, and maybe you get a CAT scan, and then you get a stress test, and the stress test, is what's called a false positive, which leads to an angiogram that you never really needed, and now you got all this stuff. You've got thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of bills when all you needed was a chiropractic adjustment because your rib was out of place. It's the whole system is totally botched, and I don't see it getting any better anytime soon. And that's why we as patients, we have to educate as much as possible.
And I think that's what we do, and I think that's exactly how you and I fit into this paradigm at this time. And I think it's so vitally important for people to hear that there are alternatives. So in other words, if you are having these situations, you don't have to have them anymore. You can look for something different. There are so many other options out there. So just be aware of what we're speaking about and saying, you know, I heard something on the radio and they said I didn't have to do that anymore, or maybe I should look for a different opinion. And it's like, it's almost like empowering people to say, you know what, it's okay. You can do that. You know, we'll help you, or people will help you, or find a way to get help. And I think that's just the biggest message we've always had here.
You know, I think there's always time for a second opinion. If you leave one doctor's office, don't like what you hear, go talk to another doctor. Even if you're in the hospital, you still likely have time to open up the phone book, open, the internet, search for a natural doctor in your area, and just call that person and just get a quick opinion as what is really necessary. What can that person do? Because doctors have a nasty habit of really strong-arming people, really scaring people, and it's totally unnecessary. You know, take a blood thinner, you know, like Coumadin. I mean, doctors scare their patients all the time into taking a blood thinner like that, when oftentimes it's really not necessary, or the risk of having a stroke is low. Now, I'm not telling any of your listeners to stop any of their pharmaceuticals without talking to their doctor first, but that being said, you know, really, what is the benefit? And I'm able to stop, you know, like I said, these pharmaceuticals all day long on my patients, and especially when I explain to him, you know, them what the benefit is, and I'll let the patient decide, and invariably they decide, hey, you know what, if there's not much benefit here, I'll try the natural approach. I'll give that a shot.
Yeah.
We'll see how it does, and it works every time.
Well, Dr. Jack, we have come up to the end of the hour. We haven't even taken a breath, so it was such a pleasure to have you with us. It was just a great time.
It was a pleasure talking to you, and I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate what you're doing, and you're changing the world with getting your message out there to people. So, Dr. Gallagher, please keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much. But, Dr. Jack, could you I'd like you to give us your website so others could find out more information about you, and also be sure you come back in when your book is out, because many of our listeners will be interested in hearing about that too.
Oh, that would be my pleasure. The our website is a website that's actually being formed by my wife and I, but it's called The Doctors Wolfson, T-H-E-D-R-S, and then Wolfson, W-O-L-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, O-N, The Doctors Wolfson. That'll take you to my website, which right now is Wolfson Integrative Cardiology. People can follow us on Facebook at The Doctors Wolfson, on Twitter at The Doctors Wolfson, and we've got fantastic blogs, health information, and certainly a lot more good things to come. So I try and get the information out there as much as I can to people from all over the world, and you know, we'll keep fighting the good fight to make a difference.
Absolutely, and we will see you back hopefully before June to be able to talk about your book, and that would be wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and have a great evening. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Jack Wolfson, please do click on his link. It is on the bottom of today's show page. You can go directly to his website. Please, when we are talking about the heart is an organ, but all of your cause and effects, there's blood vessels that lead to that heart. There's muscles around that heart. There's bones that hold that heart in place. There's also all of the energy about our mental and emotional world. So please do check out all of our other shows. We always talk about the heart, the brain, the lungs, you know, and everything that's going on in our world, and it's really a great adventure to be able to say, you know, I think I need to figure out something else, and I think I'm going to listen to a few shows and say, I might try this. That sounds kind of funky. Well, maybe I'll try that, but maybe I won't try that. Have at it. We've got tons of shows, over 200 on the link. We are on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio. We are also archived on iTunes. So please do check us out. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a wonderful day.